You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, this is Doug Jones, and you are listening to the You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast.
What's your favorite scary movie?
What's the boogeyman?
You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish, understand?
It's showtime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
And we got a moderately okay show for you guys today.
We'll see how it goes. Robbie's not feeling the best.
Yes, I gotta bear through it. We've had a couple exciting weekends. We did Fanboy and we did Scaradice. Spookala rebranded into
Scaradice. Tampa. Yeah.
So I guess
had a busy couple of weeks.
I guess this is their first year now. Would they be like they're starting over now?
I mean, kind of, I guess. Yeah.
Because we weren't with Spookala when they first launched. We were there for the second year.
Yeah, we weren't vending when it first started. And then we went to a show as guests. And then I never got to go as a guest again.
We met Jamie Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was when they were at the
Equestrian Center.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So now they're kind of rebranding, and so this is their first year again.
Yep.
So I think we've been there through it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we will be at Scream City in
St. Augustine
starting on the 25th and 26th of October.
Yeah, so coming up rapidly.
So that is super fun. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of cool guests. The reason I'm looking forward to this show is because you can actually book experiences with the guests. So people from Twilight are going to be there. You can actually play baseball with the people from Twilight.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And Sammy and I actually just, she rewatched the Twilight's movies.
Yes.
I watched them for the first time. Mm-hmm. So we will be doing an episode on Twilight.
That'll be our next one.
Yeah, yes. That will be our next episode
on the whole series. Five episodes. It's one.
Right. That'd be a lot. Oh my God.
Let's be real. If you look at the content of the stories, I mean, there really wouldn't be, it's not worth it to me to spend five episodes on it.
No, I agree.
I agree. You know?
I agree with that 100%. Yeah. So,
just a thought.
Yeah, so we're really looking forward to that one. St. Augustine's fun.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do a ghost tour.
We're hoping to, squeeze in a ghost tour maybe on Friday night before.
Yeah, Friday night.
Yeah, after we do a move-in, I'm assuming that day.
Yeah.
So that's the plan, yeah. Because, I mean, we've been to St. Augustine, but the last couple of times we went, I mean, it's just kind of like we're in and out, we're tired and busy, but we're thinking this time we'll, you know, try and actually maybe do other stuff.
Do something fun.
We normally eat at the Caddyshack. I think we're going to forego it.
You don't want to eat at Caddyshack?
I'm just saying, if you'd like to branch out, maybe we can eat at the Caddyshack on Sunday.
Maybe.
Before we leave.
I know there's
eating at the Caddyshack this year.
I know there's other places to eat in St. Augustine than just the Caddyshack. I
mean, there's probably a lot of places. Caddyshack and Bucky's, which has been our main thing the last couple of times. So it's just a thought. We could, you know.
Yeah,
branch out a bit.
We'll play it by ear, but yeah.
Rob would probably be like, let's just go to the Caddyshack. It's right there.
Well,
and Bucky's.
You know how when you're right after a convention, you're just like, oh, we're looking for something to eat. Mm-hmm. Where is it? And these restaurants are literally like right here.
I know, it's convenient.
It's very convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
we'll see.
We'll play it by ear.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to be in St. Augustine, come say hey.
Check out the show.
It's going to be very cool.
that looks fun.
We got some Dexter merchandise going from the last convention.
Mm-hmm. We'll be bringing that with us.
We're going to be bringing a lot of Michael Myers stuff.
Halloween. Tyler Mane will be here. Zombie.
So, mm-hmm. So come out, support, check us out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So today, we are jumping into American Psycho.
Yeah, which I was kind of like, I can't believe we haven't done it.
Yeah, because I can't believe it's taken this long.
This is one of his, not his very first shirts, but this was like an early run shirt that you did.
Yeah.
With Patrick Bateman on it. And
this is popular. One of our best selling shirts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know what we're talking about, you can go to limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com. And go to our website and check out all of our merchandise.
Yes, please.
American Psycho is on there. Mm-hmm. I'm adding more. I mean, I have a lot of merchandise to add. We got Scream. We got Lost Boys. We got Monster Squad. We got mm-hmm. Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. Big Trouble in Little China.
Mm-hmm. We've got some Buffy. We do in the Shadows merchandise.
Yeah. The list can go on and on. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com. Head over, buy a couple of shirts, mm-hmm. and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. All right. So, American Psycho. This movie was released on January 21st, 2000. So, it's 25 years old.
You were
25. Almost 26 years old.
Yeah.
Because it came out in 2000, so.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Reviewers say that American Psycho is a provocative film exploring consumerism and identity. Christian Bale's chilling performance as Patrick Bateman is highly praised, and the film's dark humor and social commentary effectively critique the 1980s yuppie culture. It's an unsettling atmosphere, which is enhanced by stylish visuals and a haunting score. Dun, 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 I don't know. That's probably a little bit dramatic. So for this movie, I guess it didn't give me a true summary. I think I used Google Gemini to help me put this together.
Okay.
And I'm realizing it didn't give me a true summary. But basically, Patrick Bateman is an account executive, as are
all of his friends. They all have
the people. I don't know.
They literally all have the same job.
Yes, they do the same thing. And he doesn't do anything that we've seen. He sits in his office and
as a secretary
and orders her to do things. But he doesn't seem to actually do any work in his office. And during his free time, he likes to murder people.
Well, his Reese Witherspoon said your dad practically owns the company.
So, I mean, yeah, that is implied maybe he doesn't have to do anything because
his dad practically owns the company.
Nepotism.
He's a nepotism baby.
Yeah, that could be. But again, there's like 20 other people that do his exact job, and I don't think they do anything either. So, I mean,
they sit around and envy people's their business cards.
Literally is an entire scene where they're sitting around and Jared Leto's character, he had his new business card that he showed, and Patrick visibly gets upset at how nice his business card is. Jared Leto's business card is. He gets like visibly shook up by this, and then they all proceed to sit around and show each other their business cards, which all say the same fucking thing on it over and over again.
And go ahead and tell what's wrong with the business card.
Oh, there's a misspelling on there. What was the exact wording on?
And I didn't know this. And I've watched this time and time again.
I may have to pull it up because I can't remember.
But
if I included that.
She was like, yeah, it's all misspelled.
Yeah, they all have the same exact misspelling. So, hold on. Let me pull it up for you, Patrick Bateman.
Might as well pull up a summary as well.
Business card. So, I need to make this bigger because I'm old and I can't fucking read this stupid thing. So, mergers and acquisitions. But acquisitions is missing the C. And everybody's business card it has it misspelled. So it's not just Patrick. Every one of them, mergers and acquisitions, but they all say AQU, and it should be ACQ.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, vice presidents of what company did he actually work
for? Pierce and Pierce.
That's right. Pierce and Pierce.
And they, I don't know what they actually did. Okay, so our official film synopsis, which I don't know where Google got this from, so we're just going to roll with it. In New York City in 1987, the year I was born.
There you go.
Yeah. A handsome, young, urban professional, Patrick Bateman, lives a second life as a gruesome serial killer by night. And the cast is filled with, well, we'll go over the cast here in a minute, but there's a lot of big stars in this. And this is a biting wry comedy. Examining the elements that make a man a monster. So it is meant to be
funny,
not just like a drama. Yeah, it's meant to be funny.
This is Christian Bale's one of his biggest roles, like starting out.
Yeah, it's one of like his first.
This is what put him on the map.
Yeah, and there's a whole thing at which I'll get into in trivia going on with his casting. So why don't we go ahead and move on to who else is in the movie?
Go ahead.
Our filmmakers, we'll start there. So this was directed by Mary Harron. So a woman directed this.
Wow, that's
go feminism. Me. And I love that.
That surprises me because of all the like the sex scenes in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like,
she's there.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And writers include Brett Easton Ellis, who actually wrote the novel this is based on. So this is a novel. And then Mary Harron worked on the screenplay. And Guinevere Turner also worked on the screenplay. So our cast, obviously, we have Christian Bale as Patrick Bateman. Christian Bale as Patrick Bateman, a New York City investment banker who leads a double life as a serial killer. So he's supposed to be an investment banker. So I guess he's like...
invest in startups and things like that.
Is it like the Wolf of
I'm assuming that's what okay. Investment banking has entailed. I'm assuming it's a sliver of what he should be doing during the day.
None of these people seem to be working, so I don't really know what they do. Justin Theroux is Timothy Bryce, who's also in Mergers and Acquisitions in the same fucking position. Josh Lucas is Craig McDermott, also the exact same position in the same building as Bateman.
Well, let's examine this for a second. If you're a big Fortune 500 company, I'm sure they have repeat positions.
But they all don't do anything.
I will give you that. They all don't do anything.
What's the point?
What's the point on employing all these random people that don't do anything?
Yes.
I don't know.
So Bill Sage is David Van Patten. Again, same thing. Chloe Savine is Jean. And she is the unfortunate secretary who has to deal with Bateman. And who...
She's been in a lot of things, though.
No, yeah. And she clearly tries very hard...
To dumb down her character.
To appease him. No, I was just going to say the character tries very hard to appease him. But he's an asshole. So, I mean, he comments on the way she dresses and...
Don't wear that.
Yeah, it's rude.
I mean, back in those days... That's how bosses were talking to secretaries.
But the way it's made it to come across in this movie, it's still made to be rude.
You watch Mad Men.
Yeah.
They were telling people, oh, don't wear pants or you have to wear skirts and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
But the way he tells them...
20 years before this, yeah. No, it's pretty terrible. But I'm just saying, this movie does make it clear that that's... Like, he's an asshole for how he talks to her.
Well, I think they wanted to definitely make it his point, like, he's the alpha. Like, yes. You do what I say.
I agree.
So I think that's why they were doing that.
We have Reese Witherspoon in one of her, again,
early roles.
Yeah, as Evelyn Williams, and she's supposed to be Bateman's fiance.
Was this before Cruel Intentions?
Yeah, this would have been
before
Cruel Intentions, right? Because... Yeah. Wait, no. This came out in 2000. Was Cruel Intentions in the 90s? Or was it a 2000s movie? No, she looked older in Cruel Intentions, right?
What? Hold up.
We're going to double check that. But I feel like she looked very young in this. So. Waiting with bated breath to see.
This came out in 99.
Same time then.
So same year.
It must have just been the way the characters were. Because to me, I could have told you Reese was like 5 years younger in this than she was in Cruel Intentions.
So Cruel Intentions was released March 5th, 1999.
Okay. And this came out just under a year later.
Okay.
In 2000. So she's the same age.
Cruel Intentions first and then this. But that was like still one of her very first movies.
Yeah, this is still very early in her career. Samantha Mathis is Courtney Rawlinson, who is Lewis Carruthers' fiance, who's having an affair with Bateman. Again, Bateman doesn't seem to really like anybody around him. So the fact that she's having an affair with him doesn't mean a whole lot, in my opinion.
I'm surprised you could stomach her.
I don't understand anymore. Like, I think Bateman just has an affair with her just because he can. I think is really what it is. Not because of any real interest in her.
Just because he just wants to. It's amusing to him.
Yes. I definitely think that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Matt Ross is Lewis Carruthers. And so he's the fiance to the woman we just named, Courtney. And he's clearly a closeted homosexual.
He's the one that tries to like seduce him in the bathroom.
Yeah.
When Bateman was going to go strangle him.
Yeah.
He's like, why here?
Yeah. Yep. That's the same one.
And then he's like, I got to go return some videos. How many times?
He leaves. And he always says that, doesn't he? I have to go return some videos.
Yeah. How many times are you returning videos? How many movies are you running?
He's always at the Blockbuster. That's where Bateman hangs out.
I think that's where, back in this time, Blockbuster was a big booming thing.
I mean, yeah, he's always at the Blockbuster. I mean, 87, I don't know, was it Blockbuster back then? Probably, right?
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah. Jared Leto, as we've already mentioned, he was Paul Allen.
Paul Allen.
And out of everybody that Bateman doesn't enjoy spending time with, I would say Paul Allen makes the top of the list.
Oh, yeah.
For quite a while. And then we have William Dafoe as Donald Kimball, who's the private investigator, who's trying to see what happened when Paul Allen disappeared. So, yeah, that's our cast of characters. So as far as the box office, its budget was estimated to be $7 million. And its opening weekend, it made $5 million. And then its gross in the U.S. and Canada was $15 million. And worldwide, it made $34 million.
So they did do another one. But Jason or Bateman was not a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a bad call.
Yeah.
They had the girl from That 70s Show, Ashton Kutcher's wife, Mia.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was the next one. And I was just like, why wouldn't you just do another continuation of his story?
I don't know.
But
interesting. Ratings wise, this has a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 85% rating from Rotten Tomatoes, and then a 4.3 out of 5 on Google.
It's a very interesting movie.
I like it. I mean, he's very...
Because every time you rewatch it, but you get something different out of it. You're just like, oh, wow, I didn't think about that. Or
yes.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's a good rewatchable movie.
Over and over again.
Yeah. And the fact that it's meant to not be taken overly seriously. Like, this is not a drama about this man and his double life. Like, he does some funny things.
Right.
Just like you said, like, even just the video comments. I mean, you're just like, bro, how many times is that going to be your excuse? And then when he's trying to get into the building, but he just shot all those people and he continues to shoot everyone he comes in contact with. I mean, that's pretty funny watching him do that, you know?
He's trying to feed the cat into the ATM machine. And you're just like, and then the girl's like, what are you doing, the old lady?
Yeah.
And then his, pops her.
Yeah, his exact reaction is to shoot her. And now he's shooting everybody.
The police and everything.
He just shoots everyone. And it's just funny. So we'll do some trivia. So my first one I have entitled Studio Fuckery.
I'm open ears. What is all this?
So after the novel was originally optioned back in 1991, author Bret Easton Ellis himself was on set to write the script for director Stuart Gordon with Johnny Depp starring as Patrick Bateman. Now, he could have done Patrick Bateman.
You think so?
Johnny Depp is one of those actors, and I know there's probably people out there who don't like him, but in my opinion, he is a chameleon. If you give him a script and you're like, this is who you are for the next, you know, however many weeks, months we're filming this, that is who he is.
Well, we're now 91, okay? So back in those days, you had the 21 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Depp was the man.
He was in a Nightmare.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah. He was in Edward Scissorhands. I mean, list goes on and on. He was the dude back in those days.
Yes.
So I'm surprised he didn't star in this. I'm assuming you have some more.
Well, Gordon, the director, wanted to film in black and white and stick as close to the book as possible, meaning a guaranteed X rating.
Wow, okay.
And then, of course, the project fell through, probably because no studio was like, yeah, let's do this.
Let's do an X rating.
Anywhere. I mean, so the project fell through, and David Cronenberg replaced Gordon, and then Brad Pitt was set to star.
Wow,
but that failed to get off the ground, which is interesting because I'm surprised with Brad Pitt being attached that they still had issues with it.
Yeah.
Knowing, again, Brad Pitt, major player, certainly in the 90s.
So speaking of Brad Pitt.
What are we speaking about with Brad Pitt?
We just did a Robbie review of him and...
that Formula One.
Formula One. F1.
Yeah.
So if you're not listening to Robbie reviews, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's available anywhere you get your podcast, so yeah, check that out.
Also, watch that movie. I don't know if it's streaming out on Apple Plus.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. F1 on Apple Plus or Apple TV.
Yeah, we thought it was a good movie, so... So when Lionsgate picked up the rights to this movie, to American Psycho, Mary Harron was set to write and direct. And initially, she considered various actors for the role of Patrick Bateman. And eventually, she offered the part to Christian Bale, who accepted. The producers tried to talk her into casting Edward Norton, but she refused and then was ultimately allowed to cast Bale, but only if she cast at least two other big name actors in supporting roles. So then she hired on William Dafoe and Reese Witherspoon. I guess that would tell us because Reese would have been very popular at this point.
So, yeah, 91. Pause for a second. I'm glad they didn't do Edward Norton. I mean, yeah. we're in the 90s now, and Edward Norton was popping off too. You had American History X. You had Hulk.
Yes.
I mean, the list can go on and on, but I feel like Christian Bale did a better job.
Well, it gets better.
His interpretation of the character.
It gets better. So, however, after they agreed to appear, so she hired on William and Reese to come on. She's like, I'll do my part. After they agreed, Lionsgate told Harron that they were going to make an offer to Leonardo DiCaprio to play Bateman.
What?
Yes. Now, again, I mean, I know Leo's coming up. You got the Titanic movie.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah. So he's, again, an up-and-comer with movies, but that's really shitty.
And yeah.
I'm not saying Leonardo and the things I've seen him in has done very well. He seems to have a wide range. But I don't know if I would have enjoyed him as much in this particular role.
I agree with that.
I think he could have done it, but I don't think it would have been the same character.
Yeah, it would have been different. A different interpretation.
Yep.
That with Leonardo DiCaprio and Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. So Harron told Lionsgate that if they did that, she was just going to leave the project. And they offered it to him. And then she said bye. And she left the project.
So this is where commerce and production come together.
Mm-hmm. Now, Oliver Stone was brought in to replace her, and he was working from a script by Matt Markwalter. Now, Leonardo DiCaprio, as we said, he was starting to be, you know, big name.
Big boy.
He was asking $21 million to play the lead, forcing the film's budget up to $40 million.
When you're big, doing big things, you can be like, I want that $21 mil.
But then he quit, and Christian Bale came back. And
why did he quit?
Back down. I'm not sure why he quit. But my assumption is he probably was offered other roles. Maybe that interested him more or something, you know?
Wow.
Something fell through. He didn't do it.
Well, and, yeah.
So then when Christian came back, then it dropped the budget back down to that $7 million. So that was a big drop.
So how much do you think he got paid for this? $2 million?
Not 21 million. Probably not that much.
I mean, if the budget is $7 million.
This is what DiCaprio did. He went to go shoot The Beach.
Okay. It was
another project. And, but since he left to go shoot The Beach and then the budget was getting out of control, then the replacement director left and Lionsgate was like, hey, like, we'll just bring back Heron. And then she came back and they basically restarted from where they had already been.
So the budget to shoot the movie is $7 million.
Yes.
So you have another budget for marketing of $7 million. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's say they gave him $3 million. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah.
He got like $3 million.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's good.
So the movie that's on Bateman's television while he's working out at home is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I think we did.
We did know that.
Watching that. And the name Bateman is derived from the main character of Psycho.
Norman Bates. Mm-hmm. The Bates Motel.
Mm-hmm. Clever. Yep.
Psycho. Mm-hmm. You know, Alfred Hitchcock, if you haven't seen that, mm-hmm. for all you youngins.
Mm-hmm. To block the three-way sex scene with the two prostitutes, the director and Christian Bale watched X-rated tapes. In her commentary, Heron says that Bale made stick figure drawings of the positions he thought would work best.
That's funny.
That's so stupid.
I mean, how are you going to block it? You can't be too graphic, yeah. overly graphic, or you're going to get that X rating.
Right. And they didn't want that clearly. In the movie. So, yeah.
But when you're watching it, you're just like, oh, that's a, you know, when you're watching it, you're like, oh, why did they choose that angle over that angle? I mean, it's because you can't be overly graphic.
Yep, exactly. So two scenes did feature some unexpected improvisation from Christian Bale. So when Bateman is jumping rope, he starts to skip and cross his jump rope as a schoolgirl would. Bale surprised the director even more by starting to dance as Bateman was preparing to kill Paul Allen. And that time, she says in interviews and the commentary, she collapsed with laughter.
So when he's like knifing him with an axe, mm-hmm. he's dancing beforehand. Do you see that?
I think you do it like a little bit.
Because they're talking about Michael Bolton. Because
he always talks about the music that he's listening to.
The music.
He goes in some like long spiel and about it. And
then goes into a long rant.
That's how you know he's going to kill you.
And make sure you check out Rant Radio on LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
I know that crossover was coming.
There you go.
Yes. But that's what he does. So you can rant, but don't murder someone afterwards. Just call. That's it.
Or call during it. That would be a great episode.
We're not.
I'm just kidding. That. I'm not encouraging that at all.
No. I don't want that. I want that on record. We are not.
We're not encouraging that.
People and call and talk about it.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Yes. So the film had various problems with designer labels during production. I wonder why. So Serralti agreed to allow Christian Bale to wear their clothes, but not when the character was killing anyone. Rolex agreed that anyone in the film could wear their watches except Bateman.
Wow. Okay.
And apparently in the book, there's a line where Bateman tells somebody, don't touch the Rolex, but in the movie, it just had to be don't touch the watch. So I could say Rolex because he wasn't allowed to wear it.
I do want to read the book because when we were at a convention, somebody was like, have you not read the book? And I'm like, no, I've only seen the movie. Mm-hmm. And they were like, the book is 100 times better.
Well, it's a lot more intense.
And that's, I think that's what I'm looking for. I'm not like looking for like a Terrifier kind of esque. Mm-hmm. I like monsters like Patrick
and Dexter
yeah. and those kind of psychopaths that you're like, okay, I understand why he's doing this.
Do you though? Patrick Bateman doesn't seem to have much rhyme or reason other than he likes
we'll get into some of the things. I'm just like, okay.
Perry Ellis provided underwear at the last minute after Calvin Klein pulled out from the project, and Garcons? I don't know.
Is that when he's working out in his boxers?
Yeah.
That's the underwear?
He was going to have Calvin Klein on, but they said no. But this last designer, however you say that, because I clearly can't afford it. They refused to allow one of their overnight bags to be used to carry a corpse. So Jean-Paul Gaultier was used instead.
Okay.
I guess they were like, it's cool to put a body in one of our bags. Clearly, do it.
Clearly you don't understand that this is a dramatization. People are not really putting corpses in your bag. No,
and I don't think people are going to be like, oh, Calvin Klein
pulled out.
No, that Calvin Klein is only worn by psychopaths and serial killers. I don't think anyone was going to do that.
Don't you think it would have bumped up sales for you guys?
I think, and maybe back in 2000s, people are still a little nervous. Companies, I think nowadays they'd be a little bit less because horror, I think, has grown a lot.
But back in the day, Calvin Klein, I mean, you had all the Calvin Klein spreads. Mark Wahlberg starred in one of them. I mean, they were popping back in the day. They were they were our Abercrombie.
Well, they did not want to be associated with serial killers. So
what the hell?
So at one point, the novel was considered to be a television show on NBC starring, guess who?
I have no idea.
Guess who?
I have no idea.
This doesn't tell you?
Victory?
Yes, Kevin Dillon.
Kevin Dillon, really? Okay.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. However, due to ownership, the film was eventually made.
So Kevin Dillon was going to do an ABC.
And apparently they had an in-joke on Entourage about the starring, which stars Kevin Dillon. I don't know.
Yeah. What's the joke?
I don't know. I didn't say what the joke was.
I need to go back and rewatch it.
I figured you would just know because I don't have
We saw him this weekend at Scaradice.
Mm-hmm.
He's super cool. Every time I see him, I get into Johnny Drama. And if you're an Entourage fan, he always goes, "Victory!" I do that anytime I see him. I did that at Mad Monster and at this one.
Yep, he sure did.
So he's a super cool guy.
Mm-hmm. He's very nice. All right, so for William Dafoe scenes, Mary Harron instructed him to play each one in three different styles. One, as if he's suspicious of Patrick Bateman. Two, as if he has no clue to Bateman's guilt. And then three, as if he's undecided. Which I'm assuming then that means when they're cutting it together, like, don't you get that sense where sometimes you can't figure out the cop's
perspective thoughts?
Yeah, perspective on it. And I feel like that's probably because they had him play it the three ways and then the way they cut it made it kind of unclear.
Did they do three different takes each time? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's implied here. But I think that helps build because I could never figure out if he thought Patrick actually did something or not. Like, I'd be like, oh, no, he definitely thinks he did it. And then the very next lines out of his mouth, I'm like, oh, no, he doesn't think he did it. Like, that would explain the confusion here.
Especially when he was in the coming into the office and he's like, Patrick is pretending to be on the phone. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Looking for a way to create the character of Patrick Bateman, Christian Bale stumbled onto a Tom Cruise appearance on The Late Show with David Letterman. He inspired Patrick Bateman. According to Mary Harron, Bale saw in Cruise this very intense friendliness with nothing behind the eyes. And Bale subsequently based the character of Bateman on that. Interestingly, Tom Cruise is actually featured in the novel. He lives in the same apartment complex as Bateman, who meets him in an elevator and gets the name of a cocktail wrong, calling it Bartender. But
that's pretty cool.
I thought that was funny that he used a Tom Cruise interview as his basis for this character. And then knowing that, like, when we were watching it, I'm like, I can see it.
Yeah, I mean,
some of the stuff he does, I'm like, that does remind me a bit of Tom Cruise.
You don't think Tom Cruise could be a serial killer?
Oh, he probably could, yeah.
Like, he's super nice guy, but you just don't want to be alone with him because you'll get axed down. Yeah,
I could see it.
I hear Garth Brooks is the same way. Garth Brooks is a serial killer.
That one I don't buy.
I mean, there are things that, like, every time he has a tour, people go missing.
Okay. Here's the problem I have with that.
Okay.
Is number one, where do you get the source from? Number two, I bet if you followed a lot of these acts around every city that they go to, which is usually a major city, like someone like Garth Brooks is not going to some small town festival. There's probably the people that go missing every day in those cities. So someone was just like, oh, look, every time he's in town, people go missing, not knowing that the day before, the day after, like all the weeks surrounding that, there's people going missing because that's just what happens in big cities.
I will tell you this. This rumor has gotten so big.
Oh boy.
That he has to address it. Like, he hasn't came on publicly, but he knows this is the thing.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine being a country singer and you're being like, oh, people think I'm a serial killer?
All right.
Out here murdering people. But it's a big deal. We're gonna get if you guys read into this, let us know in the comments.
These days you can start anything on the internet.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I mean There's a lot of online sleuths.
Mm-hmm. Sleuths and quotes. So Christian Bale also insisted on getting Brett Easton Ellis's approval for his portrayal before filming and arranged a meeting. So Bale showed up to the meeting dressed and groomed as Bateman, even introducing himself as Patrick Bateman. After 10 minutes, apparently the author begged Bale to stop because his hands were shaking and he could not take it anymore. The author said this was the single creepiest moment of his life.
That's pretty cool.
So apparently that was a big yes, good job from the author. And during the shooting of the film, of course, Christian Bale spoke in an American accent, and he did that on and off set at all times. So he was always using his American accent.
He's English.
Yes. At the wrap party, when he started to speak in his native British accent, many of the crew thought that he was just speaking that way for another film. So they thought he was doing a prep for something.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, they didn't know that he was an American. They thought he was the whole time.
There are a lot of English actors out there.
Mm-hmm.
That it surprises me when they're
like, oh shit, they're not American.
Isn't Spider-Man English?
Yes.
Tom Holland, yes.
British, yes.
You get a lot of them. They're just great actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, some of them, like sometimes if you really focus, you can hear if they say something kind of off that keys you in that they're
British.
But I mean, I think generally, like, Patrick Bateman has, not Patrick Bateman, wow, Christian Bale as Patrick Bateman, I think did a very good job this movie.
When you were watching The Dark Knight, could you hear it in his voice at all?
I didn't know Christian Bale was British for a long time, so I'm going to go with no.
I mean, he is just, I hear he's not a great guy in person. Like, he is a, if you get on his bad side, he'll let you know.
Yeah, that's.
He's kind of like, God. Luke, or who's the guy that played in Star Wars? He is a pilot. Han Solo. Harrison Ford. He's just a grumpy old grandpa.
I don't know. I mean, what I understand, Christian Bale seems like a hothead. Harrison, I mean, you just know, yeah, like he's just grumpy. So you accept it.
Do you know how much his autograph is? Like, were to just see him on the street and say, hey, can I get an autograph for you?
Mm-hmm.
You have any guesses?
No.
It's $900.
Harrison Ford on the street and ask for an autograph, he's going to be like, give me $900.
Yes. And the reason why it's so expensive mm-hmm. is because he doesn't want people to ask for it.
I was going to say, I could have told you that is Harrison's way of saying, please don't stop me on the street and ask me for this bullshit because I don't want to sign something for you.
Have you seen the videos of Harrison Ford, like he's in this taxi cab. He gets mad because it's traffic in New York City, right? So he gets out and starts directing traffic and everybody's like, this is Harrison Ford.
Yeah, because he's just like, people can't get it together. So he gets out of his car that's taking him
taxi.
Yeah, and he's... getting
come on, he's like, come on, go, go.
But literally, like, you almost are like, oh, he's just trying to help move traffic along. No, he moves the traffic enough for his car
to get out, yeah.
And then he's back in it, and he's on his way.
Yeah.
And he's got things to do.
I mean, yeah, no.
There's no time for this nonsense. No one knows how to drive.
No, I agree.
Yeah. You know what you sign up for with Harrison Ford.
I hear if you see him on the streets, he'll be like, fuck off. Especially,
I would love it.
Especially, can you imagine you being told to fuck off by Harrison Ford?
That would be the best day ever, to be like, Harrison Ford told me to go fuck off.
Just like, so for this show, we tried to get Bill Murray on the podcast, right? I was like okay.
Yeah.
I emailed his attorney, and his attorney hit me back and says, Bill Murray does not want to do your podcast.
Yes, straight up.
And we have a shirt of it, so, but if anybody knows Bill Murray, tell him we're still out here and we still want to book him on the show.
Yeah, maybe someday.
Anyway, let's keep going with this. Like,
so the only other trivia I have is that during production, Christian Bale followed the morning routine that his character describes at the beginning of the film.
The 1,000 push-ups and sit-ups?
Christian committed, so he did what Patrick Bateman would do in the morning.
Wow. Can you imagine getting dressed?
His hair routine was like,
yeah,
like nonsense. It was so much to it. And I was like, and this was supposed to be in 87. Nowadays, everybody does stuff like that. But I especially don't think men were doing that back in 80s. Well, maybe all of these
yuppie
acquisitions
men
and mergers, vice presidents were doing it. But yeah, so that's all I got.
So is there any part of this movie you're just like, what? Why did they do that? Like, I think the ending.
Mm-hmm. Where you don't really know. At the end of the day, the point of it, right, is that you don't know if he did it or he didn't do it.
So that is the point. You're supposed to, like, you think he just imagined all of this?
I
like his attorney when he was like, I'm Patrick Bateman. And everybody confuses him with another person.
I can't remember what the other guy's name is, but yeah, they all think he's this other dude. All of them, even Paul Allen. The entire time Paul Allen hangs out with him, he thinks he's the other guy.
Right. And it works for him because the whole William Dafoe thing and the investigation, because everybody's like, oh, he was with Patrick Bateman. And Bateman is off murdering people.
And I mean, like, they do the bit, right, where he's continually going into Paul Allen's apartment with people. And he's just hanging out there because the apartment was nicer than his.
Right.
And that's where he starts bringing people. And then he goes back at the end and they're like, you know, it's for sale. It's completely empty. You know, it doesn't like look the same. It's just bizarre. And you're like, so did he make it up the whole time?
And he walks in with the mask and the showing lady was there and was like, how did you hear about the showing?
Mm-hmm.
And that it made it like super awkward.
Yeah.
And he's like, basically wanted to be like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. So, I mean, they do things like that to really throw you off and say, was it real or not real? And I mean, like, it seemed weird to me that, well, I guess not super weird, because they weren't sure what happened to Paul Allen. So they're like, he disappeared. So they wouldn't just close up his apartment. But then they did say he moved to London, right?
Even his attorney was like, I was just with Paul Allen.
Yeah. Like, he makes it very clear Paul Allen was alive. So I guess the attorney is the one who said he moved.
Yeah.
He didn't just visit, right? He, like, moved.
He moved, yeah.
So that's why the apartment would be sold. So then it all goes back to, well, then he didn't do any of that.
Right. So
he didn't even murder Paul Allen.
When they were talking, he was like, I knifed the bastard down. I axed the bastard down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was like, that's impossible. He was like, I was just with Paul Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like super confused. Like, when he was standing there at the bar, you're just kind of like, so did he not murder anybody? Right. Is he just, he's kind of schizophrenic.
I mean, which you guess it would make sense that he didn't really murder people, because he's not very good about subtly cleaning up everything. And some of it you're like, that's a lot of blood everywhere. There's zero chance that you just clean this up within an hour or so.
Are you talking about the bed sheets?
Yeah.
They're like, I'm trying to get this
dry cleaners.
Yeah. And he's like, she's like, what is that? And he was like, oh, it's crayon apple. And then
and everyone was like,
yeah.
Is it though?
And so, like, his friend is like trying to make plans with him, and he's like, what day? What is this? And he's like, oh, I'm busy that day. I'll call. And the way he does it is like, he's such a prick about it.
Yes.
You know, he comes off like that. And you're just so like, funny. Oh, I can't. I got to return some videos or something like
That's
that.
Always his thing is he's got videos to return. And anytime he's with Reese Witherspoon's character, Evelyn, he's like so indifferent. Like they're in a car together and she's going on and on. And he's angry that she's interrupting him listening to his
Michael Bolton
Walkman.
Yeah, the Walkman and everything like that.
I'm like, you can't do that any other time. Like, you have to do it in the car with her when she's talking to you.
Kind of reminds me of you when I'm trying to listen to something and you just want to talk and talk and talk and talk.
Because we were on our way back from the doctor's office.
And oh, yeah.
He asked me a question about Hollow Scream. And I mistakenly thought that that meant he'd like me to look it up and answer his question. And when I started to answer it, he let out the biggest sigh. Like, I was really bothering him to the end of days.
Which it was. But, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But.
So, do you think he did it or he didn't do it?
That's my question to you. Do you think he did it?
I mean, it seems like he didn't. It seems like this was all in his psychopath brain.
So, well, I think we had a internet freeze for a second, so let's back up for a second.
Well, it records locally, so.
Okay.
We're good.
So, do you, I don't know. Every time I watch this, I'm like, I don't know if he did it or not do it. And I always try to picture, like, how he's moving, how he's going. Is he just, like, somewhere in a room imagining all this? I mean, his secretary finds the book of, like, all of his, like, drawings and everything like that.
I'm sure that's what he does during the day, is he sits and makes these psychopathic drawings.
Do you remember...
That's real.
Do you remember when the secretary was, she wanted to go to Dorcia's, and they met at his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, can I get some sorbet? And you open the freezer, and there's a fucking head there.
Yes. Like, come on.
I mean,
what did he have behind her that he was going to hit her with?
With a nail gun.
That's what
he had his raincoat on and everything.
It's like, damn.
But I was like, how are you going to, if you actually did that, how are you going to dispose of this one?
Well, does he have more nice luggage?
I guess.
That's my thing, though. Like, then he's driving around. He gets like a car.
Where do
and
you
he's
think,
got a body in a suitcase. Like, I don't understand.
Where are you disposing these bodies at?
That we don't see, right? He gets in. He's talking to whoever on the street. I can't remember who comes up to him. He puts the body in. It's in the suitcase in the back.
His friend, the gay guy, is like, he just gets done murdering these people. He was the hookers. Walks out, getting him in a cab. And his friend's like, oh, what are you doing? And he's like, no, it's not me. He says his name and he's like, no, it's not me.
It's so bizarre.
And he's just like nonchalant that he has these dead bodies in these bags.
And the whole prostitutes thing too. It was just the weirdest thing. You know, like you had the one he got off the street.
Yeah.
And you had this other very high class.
Was she? I thought they were friends.
No.
She was an escort.
No, they were both escorts. But the second one.
The higher end one.
Was, like a high end, obviously through a service that he paid for. And then the other one he just went and picked up off the corner.
I honestly thought they were friends because they were talking like they were friends.
Well, she's paid to do that.
Gotcha. Yeah. I knew the one. I don't know why. I don't know why you would smash somebody from the streets. Number one. And number two, like, he is obviously in the 1% club, so he can afford to get these bad girls. You know, I don't understand why you would pick somebody up on the side of the road either.
I don't know.
It is a kind of a 90s thing because back in the day, everybody liked limos. Mm-hmm. And in the 90s, every successful CEO had a limo.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was a very 90s thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just the everything he imagined or actually did, whatever it was just bizarre. But I always liked it when he was on the verge of losing it, when he was out in public, wherever it may be, you know?
Yeah.
Like we said, with the business card thing, he just was going to lose it when they're having, what was it, breakfast? Remember when all the business guy, or lunch, I guess it was lunch. They were all out. And I think that's when he did the bathroom thing with the.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he just. Like, he's just going to snap, looks like.
You know? I agree with that 100%. He was just like, I'm going to lose it right. It kind of looked like he was going to have a fit right there. Like, this isn't going my way. I'm going to just throw, I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah. Like, if he doesn't like the direction of the conversation. Yeah. I mean, he can't stand it.
Yeah.
In his mind, he is, I guess, the best at everything.
So,
like, he's top dog, and that's not the way it is for anybody else.
So my question to you is he imagining these conversations with these people, or are they really happening?
It's so hard to tell.
Like, is he really a vice president of acquisitions and mergers, or is he just like... Or is Patrick Bateman in a padded room somewhere just imagining this? Do you remember the episode of Buffy where she thinks that...
The whole mind fuck, yeah.
Yeah, that she
goes in and out.
In and out. Is this how American Psycho actually is? Is he's actually in a mental institution thinking about all this?
It could be, because I can't tell what would be quote-unquote real or not real. The murders certainly don't seem to be real.
Especially when remember he was in Paul Allen's... house, and he gets done banging the hookers, right?
Oh, right.
And then
stairs, right?
He starts running, and he has this chainsaw.
Nobody in this damn apartment building heard.
Yeah, like, you're right next door. Like, this is New York City. You're like 5 feet away from him, and he's just running butt naked down the hallway.
Does this happen a lot in this building?
And then he throws the chainsaw down the stairs, and it's like nobody heard a thing.
And now she's literally
bleeding out
on this tile, cut up with the chainsaw, bleeding out. Exactly. And he's going to go clean that up, and nobody is going to see it or say anything. That's when I'm just like, this has to be in his head.
Right.
There's no way he did that. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of the murders were real and some of them were not. Like, maybe the Paul Allen murder wasn't real because Paul Allen left town. But maybe he did. I don't think he did the hookers one, but maybe he did kill. I don't know. I don't know. He's hard to pin down.
I don't know. Every time I watch it, I think, okay, is this really happening? Is he really just like hanging around in a dark room by himself?
Yeah. It's hard to say. Does he really have a fiance? Does he really do all these things? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
No, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
So would you, clearly you would rewatch this movie.
I like this movie, yeah.
So what would you rate this movie?
I mean, I'd give it a good solid 9 out of 10, probably.
I would probably give it a 10.
Yeah.
Because I like it that much. I think it's good story, good plot, good cast.
Let's do the psychopath test.
Okay.
For our listeners out there. So... the test is...
If you're a psychopath.
Depending on how you answer, if you're a psychopath or not.
So this guy goes to this funeral. Mm-hmm. Exchange looks... So he's up at the casket and everything like that. And a young woman approaches. And they exchange looks. They don't say anything. Mm-hmm. They just exchange looks. Mm-hmm. He goes back, sits down. Day goes on. Week later... The guy kills that girl's mother. Why?
Why did he seemingly kill the stranger's mother?
Yeah. It seems like they have no connections.
They didn't talk.
They just exchanged glances from across the room.
At this funeral.
Yeah. Why would they do this? And this is actually fitting for this episode.
Yes. This is what it made me think of it. So...
And
take a minute to ponder.
This is a real test.
Yes.
Psychiatrists and therapists use this response.
Yes, to take a minute to ponder. Now, keep in mind, you are welcome to come to the conclusion that you don't know why he did it. Maybe you think it was just a random act. It's unclear to you what happened. That's okay. But if you have an answer,
insert that now.
Yes. And if you're still thinking about it, pause now, because Robbie's going to reveal the correct answer, I guess you can say.
So the correct answer is because he wanted to see the woman again. Now,
so he kills, to make it 100% clear, he kills the woman's mother so that they will see each other at the funeral for the mother.
I'm assuming so, yes.
Yeah.
Wanted to see the woman again.
Yes.
So when somebody asked me this question, that's where my mind went. Oh, he just wanted to see that girl again. When I asked Sammy this, what did you think?
I said, I don't know.
No, she came up with some scenarios, but nothing.
Oh, yeah, but I ultimately was like, I'm not sure, you know? But all of mine were trying to
rationalize this.
Yes, there we go. Rationalize why he would do that.
Right.
Yeah, but I never came up with the quote-unquote correct answer that makes you crazy.
So if you came up with the same answer I did, mm-hmm. you're a sociopath. You're a psycho.
Yeah.
There so.
You now you know.
Now you know.
Courtesy of the show.
So this is why you subscribe to this yes. show.
Yes. So you can learn things about yourself that you didn't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe you did. I think Robbie already knew it.
I see.
You should ask Dr. Thomas that today.
I should have.
Next week. Let
Next
me know.
Time I will get.
Let me know what he says.
That would have been a good one.
Yeah.
So.
Didn't even think about it.
What did you guys think of the movie?
Is this a favorite of yours? Do you watch it a lot? Or one and done? What do you think?
Let us know.
We do like this movie.
I mean, during spooky season, this is one of our favorite movies. Even when it's not spooky season, I do like to watch this on repeat sometimes. Where so, I'm just like, it's hard to find this streaming though.
Yeah, what did we watch this? So we have to rent it on Apple.
Yeah, we rented it on Apple.
I may have to just buy the movie, so we don't have to do that. But, see, like streaming is cool until it's not, and then you're just like, I don't want to pay. Like I already paid for the service. Why do I have to pay extra? Now to watch a movie, I would rather just buy the Blu-ray and then I don't have to worry about it.
So I got to shout out that guy standing next to you. He is my good friends at the cons. If you're listening, he always dresses up like Patrick Bateman.
Yeah.
Every convention we go to, mm-hmm. just wanted to say what's up to him. Let us know what you think of the episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really like this show. I really like the movie. Mm-hmm. Very entertaining. I love to see cosplayers at every show we go to. Mm-hmm. Like, they're very creative.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to do the raincoat one.
I think that's the easiest way to know that it's Patrick Bateman, because otherwise you're wearing like a suit and it's just like, well, you could be so many different characters.
You give away business cards and
but you could give
mergers and acquisitions
spelled incorrectly. But I think the raincoat and an axe, which is usually what it goes with.
And the blood spatter.
Yeah, that's an easy way to know 100%, okay, you're Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, for Dexter, no one's doing like a regular Dexter outfit. Everyone's doing the kill outfit.
Oh, absolutely.
That was the go-to if you're going to cosplay as Dexter. Everyone was doing the kill outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people like serial killers. Why do people like
fictional
true crimes, documentaries, TV shows and things like that? It's people true. Love to live vicariously through murders and criminals.
Yeah. You always see those, I don't know if you see them, but I see them like Instagram and TikTok and stuff, where some guy will post, you know, about his very caring wife. And then it'll be in the background, you'll hear like one of those, you know, true crime shows on that she's like intensely watching in the like dead of night. She's just like super honed into it. And he's just kind of like, who did I marry? Those always make me laugh.
Yeah.
I love that every day.
People love criminals. Why do you think people love true crimes, horror movies, all of that? Mm-hmm. Because it's a societal thing,
I guess. Yeah.
So So make sure you guys subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com. Mm-hmm. We are about ready. If you haven't joined our mailing list, you can. Mm-hmm. We're about ready to kick off 12 days of Halloween.
Ooh.
And nice. Each day you can watch a scary movie that is streaming currently on our site. Mm-hmm. And if you do like American Psycho, you can get the American Psycho shirt that is currently available on our store.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So go pick that up. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add?
Nope. I think we kind of covered everything, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We will see you in the next one.
All right. We'll see you next time for Twilight.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Bye.
Bye.
You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week!